Are you ready? So high cooking. Hello and welcome to another 10 Count podcast. I'm Luke Janesco, and with me,
Tony Romano.
My partner in crime here.
Crime time.
Crime time, which I already fits. I don't know if it made it onto your list. Didn't make it onto mine.
Well, I mean, this, the era's a little...
They were like, what, 2005?
No, they had to be later than that.
Were they?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't know.
I believe they were like 2008.
Well, no.
2005 is like WrestleMania 18 era. Isn't it?
And they were at 2007 at least, because I remember going to a house show and buying a Crime Time necklace, because I still have it. So I think they were at least 2007, because I remember I bought the Crime Time necklace. Then the next year, when they came back, I bought the MVP necklace, and I have them both still in perfect condition.
I have a Hardy Boys necklace.
Do you?
I mean, not anymore, but I used to.
From when? What year? Because I know they were selling those still. When I went, 2008.
I mean, it was early 2000s. I mean, it was the weird symbol that Jeff Hardy always had.
When you were just a little guy.
Yeah. Okay. I wore it when I wrestled in my basement.
Oh, yeah, because Tony here, I don't know if we've ever mentioned this on the podcast. I don't think we have we?
I don't know where you're getting at. So
used to be a, I don't know, I guess a backyard wrestler is what we're called. Did you ever wrestle in your backyard, or was it just your basement?
No, we had special matches when we did outdoors. We called it... extreme outdoor wrestling match is what we called it, and not really extreme. We just thought it was at the time because we were young, but
it was a clever name.
Yeah, but we did it in my backyard. You know, we would use ladders and wheelbarrows and, you know, all that kind of shit. But, you know, typical
and
wrestling young fans.
Are you the one that told me you actually have tapes of this? Like,
I don't currently have them anymore.
But there are tapes out there.
There are out there. My cousin, I think, has them.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to find those. So whoever's listening, hopefully there are people listening. I'm assuming there are. We got to find these tapes. I'm going to get them, and we're going to put them up on YouTube.
No.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
We don't need to do that.
It's already confirmed we're doing it.
Hey, you know, we never even got into watching the old events like we said you wanted to.
Let's do it this week.
Hey, I'm available whenever I'm not working or in class. So.
Okay, which it's always hard to find a scheduling time that works for both of us to even do this podcast.
That's true, because like every time I'm available, you're DJing or, you know.
Just being a busy guy. But we're here now doing a podcast. We're already pretty much off track because we haven't gotten into it. we're going to be doing the...
Well, wait, first of all, what was... You wrestled, right? Backyard or whatever?
No, I've never wrestled backyard.
You never did like basement wrestling?
No.
Wrestling?
No, I've... Because I want to do it, so I've stayed away from it completely. I didn't want to get injured or anything at all.
That makes sense. Surprisingly, we never had, we did it for, I mean, a good amount of time, you know, at least probably 10 years. Like, I just wasn't that young when I stopped. We never had any significant injuries. I mean, we had some, you know, bruises and bumps and, you know, people getting their bell rung, whatever. The biggest injury we had was I got a black eye, and that was the biggest thing we had. My buddy did a Famaster to me.
Oh, okay.
And
well, that had to hurt.
Well, you... I didn't know, because you know, this wasn't scripted or anything. We were young, we were just going.
He
at
just
it.
Went with it.
Yeah, we in the first couple of years we just did it. You know, whatever. Whoever got their finisher first won the match.
Okay.
But then we came up with scripted endings.
You evolved.
So that was more realistic. But, a buddy did a Famaster to me, and I wasn't ready for it, and my eye socket went right into my knee.
Oh.
Yeah.
That had to hurt.
No, it hurt. But yeah, that was probably the only like significant injury I ever had, and of course it was me.
Yeah, because
I thought I gave my buddy a concussion one time too. My move was called the 187.
Yep.
And it was pretty much a spinning X factor.
Oh yeah, you told me about this. Yes. I remember
and
this.
And then I ended up slamming his head legitimately into the floor, and he went. You just heard this thud, and then I was like, oh.
He didn't get knocked out or anything? He was...
I don't know. Like, he just, like, he was, like, silent for a little bit, and then...
Then he came back.
Then he was, like, in so much pain, we just ended the match.
Yeah, I've thought about it. Me and a few friends were going to do it, like, back when I was in high school or whatever. Because I had seen some stuff on the internet, it looked cool, and it was, like, they weren't doing anything extreme. But then someone asked this other guy, how many injuries have you had? And it's, like... This guy's had a billion different injuries already, so it was like, and they weren't doing anything too extreme, so I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait.
That's the thing, like, you read and hear about people getting hurt and sometimes even killed doing, you know, impersonating wrestling. Just lucky that we never suffered any significant injuries or especially death. But yeah, I mean, it was a great time to do it. We loved it. We had our own different personas. You know, mine was Junior and Kid Carter. And I had like a mafia type guy named Tony Leone, and yeah, we just came out different personas. And my main thing was cruiserweight title. That was the main one I usually held because I was the only one who could legitimately do cruiserweight moves.
Oh, okay. Everyone else was kind of uncoordinated.
I was also the smallest one.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so I'd be the only ones doing, you know, flips and hurricanranas and whatever.
So at least you've got some cool stories, and there are tapes out there, which will make its way onto YouTube. No, they're going on YouTube. It's already set. You shouldn't have told me about these tapes, because now I'm going to make it my mission before I graduate to find these tapes and put them on YouTube.
All right. Well, let's
just to embarrass you.
Let's get rolling with the 10 count podcast.
Yeah, because we usually take 2 hours just discussing this stuff, and we've already wasted about 5 minutes just talking about nothing. So we'll get into it. This week we're doing... top 10 tag teams from 95 to 2005, which for me was kind of hard to do.
This was a difficult list. I didn't think it was going to be this difficult going into it.
Because
you don't realize how many times these teams don't actually win the tag team title.
Yeah.
Because they break up so quick in wrestling.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was surprised about. Because some of these tag teams that made it on my list, which we'll get to because they're kind of closer to, you know, the top of the list because... Whatever you want to call it. Because they broke up their 80s teams. And when you'd see these 80s teams, you know, they went from like 85 to onward. But then within that 95 to about 2000, they broke them up. So it was kind of hard to... They're good tag teams, but you can't put them on, like, in the top five because they were broken up.
Yeah.
You know, within a short amount of time. So it was weird to me to put certain tag teams... So far back.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this list compared to our top 10 wrestlers list is we didn't have a criteria. It was purely, you know, on us to do it. The only criteria we had was to keep it between 95 to 2005. That was the only thing we had to do. So I based mine off the popularity of their tag team, their accomplishments. I tried to do it that way. It was just too hard. So yeah. The accomplishments for the, you know, the top three or four, that was the big factor, is their accomplishments. But once you get on past five, it's not as much about the accomplishments because they're all about the same after five.
Yeah.
So I also based it on their chemistry together. You know, perform. You know, having double team moves, being known as a tag team, and. You know, having great ring work, that's pretty much what I based mine off of.
Yeah, mine, one of the things that played a big part in mine every time I was looking at things was longevity of how long they were together, which is why I said some of these didn't make it in the top five because they were broken up so shortly. So that was one of the big things for me when I was looking at things because it was like, oh, this team's going to be at the top. And it was like, oh, they were only together for that short amount of time. Some of these other teams are going to edge them out because... They were more of a legitimate tag team, I guess you would say, for that from 95 to 2005. So That was a big factor into mine. But I guess we could just get straight into it. Do you want to start off with your number 10?
Yep. My number 10 was WCW's tag team of the Four Horsemen's Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko. They only held the tag team title one time. And, you know, those two together were perfect, though. They worked perfectly. They're both the same type of wrestlers, you know, the technical wrestlers who rely on the submission moves and the wear you down moves. But they had a chemistry that few tag teams ever had. They weren't successful because they, you know, Benoit was getting his push to be a singles wrestler. Malenko was already established as a singles wrestler. You know, he was a multi-time TV champion. He had the Cruiserweight title a couple times. And, you know, they're both in the Four Horsemen. I personally think that them being at number 10 was they barely got in there.
Yeah.
But they did get in there. And I am a WCW guy. We say it all the time. So I'm always going to give the tiebreaker to WCW guys.
Yeah. I remember them. I remember them as a tag team, but obviously I remember them significantly more as singles competitors. Great tag team to me. Both phenomenal athletes. Necessarily I wouldn't have put them in my top 10 just because I'm not a WCW guy. But to me, it makes sense that they're in there just because ring work alone, those two easily should make, to me, would probably make top 15. If we're just basing it on wrestling alone, mm-hmm. top 5 easily. To me, that makes sense. My top 10, number 10, I put Legion of Doom.
Were they really relevant in this era?
See, this is my thing. They were in WCW, and then they came over to WWE, about 97? In 96 or 97, something like that, they came over. Held the championship one time, WWF Tag Team Champions once. To me, they're the team that I remember from that era, from like 95 to probably late 97. They were like that team. You know, you got the Godwins and things like that, but it was like, okay, Legion of Doom is that team for me. So they're at 10 because they were a great tag team in the 80s, but, you know, from 95-2005, I would say they weren't as relevant, but I think if you have that shot to put the LOD in there, if they wrestle and they kind of fit in there, I cannot not put them in. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. I mean, they are one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know too much about them as much as, you know, most people might who are, you know, diehard wrestling fans, because they weren't in WCW when I watched it.
Yeah.
And they weren't in WWE when I watched WWE.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen a couple matches with them, and I've seen, you know, highlights of them and, you know, on retro videos and stuff like that. I mean, that's why they didn't make my list.
Yeah. And, I mean, from that,
There's nothing against them. They are a phenomenal, great tag team.
And it would make sense they don't make the list because they were there until 99, but they did that whole angle with playing on Hawk's actual real-life demons where he was alcoholic and everything. They kind of played on that where he was going to be replaced by draws at one point, so it was kind of like they held the tag team championships, but then they also had that few-month period where they were kind of breaking up and all this stuff. So it was hard for me to put him in at the top 10 because, you know, obviously, if we're dealing from 95-2005, it was really hard. But LOD is one of those tag teams that I think people are going to remember and that I just had to put him in. I couldn't not put him in my top 10. If I was going to have a shot to, I was going to put him in. So from about 95 to 99, they were kind of relevant because they were in WCW and then they went to WWE. And then they did LOD 2000, and they kind of just faded off.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really do anything. So, to me, they're my top 10.
All right. Go ahead with your 9, then.
This kind of fits in the same category. I put Steiner Brothers as my number 9.
That is mine, too.
That fits? Because they were great. Again, they kind of focused from 95-2005. They were together, and they kind of broke up with the whole Scott Steiner going pursue a singles career. So they didn't top it because they only spent, what, that maybe 3 years, I guess, in that period to be a real tag team. And then they went to ECW, I think, in 95. Then they went to they went back to WCW. But then they spent that whole, they feuded with the Outsiders and everything. And they spent the other time, I think it was 98, with Steiner doing the whole, he's breaking off into the NWO.
So yeah, it was Super Brawl, 1998. Still remember it. Scott Steiner joins the NWO. And I'm an NWO fan. Loved it. And that's when they broke up. And but they, in that period, from 95 to 98, they held the tag team title 4 times. And, you know, their breakup was significant because that was like the one of the first legit members to join the NWO.
Yeah.
Outside of Nash, Hall, and Hogan, they didn't really have, they had a couple, you know, they had managers and stuff, but they didn't have any, like, wrestlers.
Yeah.
Besides those three. And, like, he was, like, one of the first ones to break up. So it was, like, a huge, their relevance enough to even do it. And, you know, those two feuded because of this whole thing. And I know this has nothing to do with the tag team, but it's all relevant to their tag team. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's just, I think that you can not include them in this list.
Yeah. If I can go off into a small tangent here, I was kind of disappointed the way they handled Rick Steiner after the breakup, because he wasn't really pushed into anything. And I think that feud, Scott versus Rick, would have been a money feud for a while. And it was kind of like they pursued Scott Steiner and Rick faded off into really...
Well, I heard, now I don't know how true this is, but I heard, you know, Rick was going to get like an actual push like Scott did. However, when he botched Buff Bagwell's neck, I heard that he dropped out of favor in a lot of them. They lost trust in him because he legitimately broke one of their, at the time, rising stars' necks.
Yeah.
By botching his own finishing move.
Which I assume something like that would have had to happen because early in the 90s, he was like PWI top wrestler of whatever year it was. And then the way he kind of just faded off and they didn't use him was weird because early in the 90s, it was, they did the thing where they don't do it now, which I miss, because you would see either Steiner at one point getting a title shot of U.S. title or even the world championship, and you know the other one would accompany him down. So it was kind of like there wasn't really any favoring at that point, but then something happened, and obviously that could have been a big factor into it as to why nothing happened with Rick. Because before that, they, even as a tag team, they were kind of treated as equals almost. So it was weird to me that Rick never actually went on and pursued anything, or that there wasn't a bigger feud, because, I mean, these two could have feuded for a while and produced fantastic matches, but it was kind of like, okay, Rick's done. We're going to push Scott.
Yeah, and you know, Rick, even though he broke my favorite wrestler's neck,
yeah,
I did legitimately like Rick Steiner, like, yeah, as a wrestler, and he was one of my favorite non-NWO members, and I really enjoyed his matches because I loved his move repertoire. I loved his, you know, Bulldog, and I loved his Steiner Liner, and the Death Valley Driver, and his power slams that he did. Like, I loved him, his in-ring work, and so I have nothing against him for breaking Buff Bagwell's neck.
Yeah, and obviously, I think he had a great look and to him.
Yeah. It was unique.
Yeah.
Still wearing the earmuffs.
Yep.
The
and ear. I loved when he kind of went on with like the leather jacket and stuff like that, losing the Letterman's jacket and things like that. I think he had a unique look. I mean, Scott definitely had a great look, but Rick also had a great look too. So it was kind of weird that he was never pushed. But obviously, if he broke Buff Bagwell's neck, and that makes sense. So, I mean, it really sucks that Rick. Because I could have seen big things out of him. At least a lengthy U.S. championship reign, if not.
Yeah, I think he didn't have a lengthy U.S. title reign. He might have had for a little bit, but then he got put down to TV title range.
Yeah.
That was his big title he was always going for. It's always between him, Booker T, Disco Inferno, and, like, Alex Wright. Those were, like, the main four.
Berlin, you remember that?
Ugh, terrible. We're going to get off subject. Let's keep going. Okay.
You want to
so
do
we,
your...
Well, we both at number 9 is equal, so we can go number 8. Okay, mine, they weren't together that long. But when they had made such an impact when they were, and this is a WWF team, This is the APA.
Okay.
I had them number 8. They were together for only like 2 or 3 years.
4, because they're on here.
4 years. You know what? Well, they were together as acolytes too, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I'm forgetting that part. But yeah, so that's including acolytes and APA, I guess I should say. This whole, these two. They held a tag title 3 times. And they just, they were, like, they had such a huge popularity. When you heard their music, you know shit was about to go down. And you know somebody was about to get their ass kicked. And that's, I mean, when you, like, those two guys struck fear in teams that not many tag teams do in that era. And they were powerful men. And they were like, they were literally the bodyguards of WWF at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I loved it. I loved the backstage poker scenes. I loved, you know, just drinking beer, smoking cigars, playing poker, all they do backstage, and then go in the ring, kick the right to censor's ass, and then go back.
Yep.
Loved it.
I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. This is my number 7 tag team, so we're not too far off here. To me, I love these two. One of the things, when I thought about it, was fantastic that the evolution of the tag team kind of, you went from Justin Hawk Bradshaw, some cowboy, Farouk Asad, who was some, I guess, black supremacist. Neither of them had nothing to do at that one point in time, so they kind of threw them together. They did the Acolyte with the Ministry of Darkness. Then they formed the, you know, APA, which was so unique. And like you said, the backstage segments with them playing poker was so awesome and always entertaining, which is something you don't really see nowadays. So to me, these two, I loved. They were together for a total of 4 years, yeah, because Acolytes and APA. Both, Farouk, I'm a huge Farouk fan. Bradshaw is, he's okay.
I love the clothesline from Hell, though. Like, yeah. I absolutely love, and it's not the move, it's the people that sell it. When they sell it good, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I still remember the best one I ever saw was Billy Gunn taking it, the clothesline from Hell. It was when it was Billy and Chuck, and I remember it was No Way Out, I think 2004 maybe, and it was incredible. Maybe 2001. I don't know. It was No Way Out, though. That's all I remember. So okay. I still have the pay-per-view recorded, and I have it on DVD if you want to watch it.
Well, yes, let's watch it. And these two work so stiff. It was, like you said, when that music hit, everyone would pop because you know they were coming out to beat somebody's ass. And, I mean, the way they would just pick people up and slam them around, it was a tag team you could get behind because they were like,
they were the good guys, too.
Yes.
They were never bad guys, which was great.
It was like a throwback to my number 10 tag team, Legion of Doom. They were stiff workers, and then now you had the APA. And, I mean, those two were just vicious. The way they would throw people around, it was so entertaining. And, I don't know, they were just two guys that were so likable, beer drinkers, they're smoking cigars, and doing everything they do. APA was such a unique concept to me. And it's nothing that we'll ever see again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think they even tried to recreate it at one point with Chronic in WCW where they were kind of being paid to take people out or something like that.
I don't even want to talk about Chronic, so let's just move on.
They're actually my number one tag team on here.
That's a complete lie. No.
So we're not too far off there, but I was kind of debating where to put each one because APA was – I wasn't really sure. So they could have made it easily number 8 to me. My number 8 actual tag team here is the Rock and Sock Connection.
That's my number 7.
Interchangeable here.
There we go.
The reason they APA beat them out to me was that short length of time that they were together. But these two were, you know, two main event guys forming a tag team, which they held the championships 3 times total,
mm-hmm.
With the short run that they had. And segments with these two were hilarious.
Off the chain.
From Mick Foley buying the jackets, and then you had Rocco and with Sacco, and I mean, these two work so well together to me. And
I mean, they to this day have the highest rated Raw segment in Raw's history.
Yep,
which is a huge history, and so many great things have happened on Raw. And to have that being the number one highest rated segment, you got to give it your hats off to them. And I think that's what pushed them over the edge for over APA, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I could, like I said, I was debating these two when I was putting this together. It was kind of like, where, who fits where? And it was like APA only edged him out with the length of time that they had. But Rock and Sock had such, I think, an impact. Because, I mean, that's one of the tag teams. Although they were main event to begin with, and then they kind of formed a tag team, they would sell out an arena. You would pay to go see Rock and Sock Connection. So, I mean, I could easily put them at number seven for me. So,
I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing them again.
And I would love to see them again.
I would love to see them.
Once Rock comes back and Foley, I hear, is already trying to get into ring shape and everything. So, I've always been a huge Mick Foley fan. People thought it was weird back in the day that I liked Mick Foley and I didn't really like The Rock. So, I don't know.
Well, 2-1 zone. Let's move on. I mean, number 7 and 8 are the same for us, so I guess we can jump all the way to 6. So, go ahead.
All right.
Wait. You just went first. I'll go. We'll probably have the same one anyway.
We'll see what happens.
Edge and Christian.
No. Oh, that's not my team yet.
Okay. My number 6 is Edge and Christian.
Do you want to know where they're at on my list? Should I tell you? I'll just tell you.
No.
No? Okay.
Keep it secret, because it's going to be in the top 5. So that's this is where the pressure comes in. They're my number 6 team. And a lot of it is, I guess it could be towards hostility towards them, because I hated them. Always hated them. Even when they broke off in singles careers, I didn't like each one. I respected the hell out of both of them, especially Edge. You know what I mean? I think he was a phenomenal wrestler. They annoyed the shit out of me. And I hated it. And but they were a great tag team. They had so much chemistry. They were perfect. They were always, you know, the heels, and not crowd, anti-crowd heels. They cheated. In that way.
And people love to see it.
Yeah, people loved them. And my buddies, two of my buddies that, you know, were die-hard wrestlers with me, or wrestling fans of me, and they're wrestlers with me at the time, they loved Edge and Christian. And that's who they were tag team together in my basement thing, and they based their tag team off Edge and Christian. And me and my buddy hated Edge and Christian, and we loved the Dudley Boys. So we based our tag team off the Dudley Boys. So we always
putting people through tables,
makeshift tables, yes.
Makeshift tables.
But yeah. Anyway, back on Edge and Christian, they held the tag team championship 7 times, and they were in, you know, TLCs. They won both TLCs, I believe. I'm talking about the first two.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious to see where you have them.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now.
Okay, you can go ahead.
They're my number 5 tag team.
Oh, okay.
So we're not too far off again. To me, I think the 7-time tag team champ was one of the things that really put him up probably into my top 5.
Well, then I think I know who your number 6 is.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. These two, to me, I loved Edge and Christian back in the day. They were hilarious. They were heels. But it was really hard for me to hate them because they were so funny. One of the things that always sticks out in my mind is when they were playing instruments with Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I hated that too. It was EAC.
Yeah.
Hated it. And absolutely hated it.
They were a tag team that fit well, and I don't think we see it nowadays because there are hardly any tag teams. But you see these tag teams rubbing elbows with guys that are in the main event. And it's something we don't see nowadays, and I think that you really benefit from it. And E and C were just a phenomenal tag team. They played so well off each other. It was so great to see him go from the Brood, then it evolving into Edge and Christian with their 5-second pose. And I don't know, these two, I think...
Yeah, that was funny. I did enjoy the 5-second pose. That was fun. They had some funny moments.
Yeah, and they were so creative. So... To me, these two were my number 5. I think they were highly marketable. I don't know. And they both went on to do big things, I think. So
Both multi-time world champions.
Yeah, so they were together, what, 2001? But that was because afterward they both went off and did some big things. So, I mean, as a tag team, I always enjoyed their matches. They always put on good matches. I look forward to them. Like you said, they were one of the first tag teams in the TLC match, and they won them. So, I don't know. I remember Edge doing the spear off the top to D-Von, who was hanging, trying to grab the belt. And I don't
know. Oh, it was D-Von? That was Jeff Hardy. It was Jeff Hardy.
Was it Jeff? Oh, yeah. D-Von was the one
D-Von
that always...
wouldn't do that.
D-Von, he would fall and then, like, hit, and then he'd pop up and then fall back down. It was... that's what I remember D-Von for. which was funny, because I don't know if you read any books, but D-Von hates heights. So he completely hated hanging from Jeff Hardy's leg. I don't know if you remember that when he was hanging from Jeff's,
yep, I
and then he'd fall.
He's probably shitting his pants.
Yeah, D-Von completely hated heights. So it was funny to me. ENC, to me, number five tag team. I'll get to my six now. Six is Harlem Heat.
Oof.
What's that?
Really Oof. High compared to mine.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead. Explain. I'm going to wait till I get to mine. For what might go on about Harlem Heat, but go ahead and explain.
Wait, is Harlem Heat on your list?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, like, yours is, like, you have them, like, I have it way higher on the list.
Oh, so yours is top five?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, Harlem Heat, great tag team. The reason I looked into it and the reason they didn't make it into my top five is because that run from 95 to... I'll say 97, and then they kind of came back together, I think, in 99 or something like that. They were kind of plagued with certain injuries. Stevie Ray went out with an injury, which allowed Booker to pursue more of a singles career in that point in time.
Hardly, but...
Is that what it was? Because, as I said, I'm not a WCW guy.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Booker T was extremely talented, and he always has been. He was always more talented than Stevie Ray, and, you know, everyone knew that. And when Stevie Ray, you know, was out of action, they knew if they gave Booker T a push, they would not be able to put the Harlem Heat back together because he's such a fan favorite.
Yeah.
And the Harlem Heat was a fan favorite. And if they that's why they kept him so low in the totem pole. He only fought in tech, and the highest he ever won in that time period was the TV title for WWE. And they always had him fight Disco Inferno every match.
Yeah,
Booker T for Disco, and they never wanted to give him that push because they're afraid if they did that, there's no way that Stevie Ray can get back in the same league with Booker T.
How long was Stevie Ray out with the injury? Because I didn't look it up, and I don't know.
I don't remember the actual length. I just remember the time period.
Because every time I'd look something up, it was like Booker T went out with a knee injury, then he came back, then Stevie Ray went out with an injury, then when they, it may have been a. Booker T went out, then Stevie Ray went out, I think. And then the way it went was that when Stevie Ray came back, he joined the NWO. So it was kind of like injury, injury, Stevie Ray joins the NWO. So it was kind of weird to me to – I mean, they're a great tag team.
In my opinion, one of the best tag
teams
of all time.
Yeah, I agree. And it was just like everything I read, because I wasn't a WCW guy, I went back and watched their matches, but it was like I wasn't living in the moment. I don't know – how the rhythm went with the injuries and how they were doing. I've seen their matches. I enjoy their matches. I think they're a great tag team, but for the run that they had from, I assume it was 95 to 97, and then they rejoined back in 99 for a short time before they did feuding over the T in Booker T or whatever it was.
Stupid shit.
So to me, it was hard to put them top five when to me it seemed like injury, injury, breakup. We'll reform for like 5 months and then we'll feud again.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, especially being WWF. I mean, you didn't watch them religiously and all that. Like, I tell you what, if they made a best of Harlem Heat DVD in the WWE shop, I'd buy it and I'd make you watch it.
I would.
Because you would understand why that's way too low for them. They had chemistry unlike most teams. They are real life brothers, right? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not kayfabe, right?
Which I looked. I think Stevie Ray helps Booker T at the school, so they're. I mean, they're like together. But
the both last name is Huffman, right? Booker and Lane Huffman. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like brothers. The Huffman brothers. Then they went on to be the Ebony Experience, and they went into Harlem Heat.
And you know, they It was a great concept that they have. They had the matching uniforms. Like, they were legit tag team.
I loved their outfits, man.
They were sweet. The music was phenomenal. Yeah. Like, everything about them. I mean, their moves were sweet. Stevie Ray is the powerhouse. Booker T was the more speedy agility guy. Booker T wasn't that big at the time.
Yeah.
He was more of a high flyer than anything. He'd, missile drop kicks and the Harlem Hangover. I loved that tag team. They are probably my number two favorite tag team of all time. And
If we're going
this isn't by favorites. So I'm but
if we were going by favorites, easily top five for me because I love Harlem Heat. But that's the reason they.
Well, so I guess I just went on my spiel about them.
Yeah.
So I'll wait till where they're at. But what, they're your number six, and I just did Edge and Christian.
Yeah. Okay. See, this podcast is going to go, I think, quick because we're running into so much same things here.
Yeah,
because
there's not as much you can talk about.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Four, are we at?
Number five.
I already did my five. Yeah, that's
right. Who was your number six?
Harlem Heat.
That's right. Yeah, though. My number five was the New Age Outlaws. They're on your list. Right?
They're on my list.
Okay. They held the tag team championship five times. Their chemistry was out of this world. Their entertaining factor was out of this world. And the crowd loved to hate them, and then the crowd loved to love them. And, I mean, they got behind. They hated them at first. And they were so raunchy. They were so, it was unlike anything fans in wrestling business alike has ever seen.
Yep.
That kind of raunchiness. And I don't think they were ready for it at first. And then they got used to it, and they're like, hey, this is actually funny as shit.
Yep.
I have the number five, and it might be biased because I was a WCW guy. I was never a big fan of Road Dogg. I thought he was funny, but I was never a big fan of his in-ring work. And Billy Gunn I was always a fan of.
Me too.
He's a phenomenal wrestler.
I was a really big fan of Billy Gunn back in the day. Like, when Undertaker went out with injury, Billy Gunn was my favorite wrestler. I never thought it was weird, but...
they had the longest reign of tag teams of this era. I should say not of all time, but in this era. They held it for 480 days, which is a phenomenal feat. And to have it five times in that period that they were together... And one of those reigns were 480 days long. And you have to tip your cap to them.
Yep.
And, they're also part of one of the most famous factions of all time. And I just couldn't put them over my top four guys. That's the problem. They're a phenomenal tag team, but I just couldn't put them over these four.
Okay. Yeah, they're in my top. I won't get to it yet where they fall on my list. But... these two, one of my favorite tag teams of all time. WWF guy, I think they were kind of the answer to the outsiders in WCW, kind of. Crucial part of D-Generation X. Two guys that I always wanted to see. I mean, you have DX, when it was, Triple H, X-Pac, and the New Age Outlaws. And I always wanted to see New Age Outlaws over Triple H or X-Pac at that usually point in time when Triple H was still fighting for the Intercontinental Championship. It was like, I want to see New Age Outlaws. So entertaining with the whole spiel, they would come out and do everything. So marketable. I think I'm a huge Billy Gunn fan. So at that point in time, he was fantastic in the ring to me. I loved him. Road Dogg, I'm kind of the same boat as you. He was okay. I enjoyed him on the mic, but anything else, it was like, I want to see Billy Gunn more than I want to see Road Dogg. But to me, these two were great. You've pretty much already said everything. Title reigns, and they started off, I don't know how much you remember, but they started off with Road Dogg was Jeff Jarrett's roadie. Do you remember this, or did you not watch?
I don't remember this at all.
Okay, I'll go through the whole storyline for you since we have time. Jeff Jarrett was doing his Jeff Jarrett spiel, and he came out with this song that he was singing. Well, it turned out that he wasn't singing it. His roadie, who was Road Dogg, was singing it for him. So, they did the Road Dogg Jesse James gimmick, which was him being a country star. So it was kind of like him floating around doing this country star gimmick, which no one cared about. Billy Gunn broke up with the Smoking Guns. He kind of formed up with Honky Tonk Man, and they called him Rockabilly, and it was kind of like, what's going on here?
I remember that tag team.
And then they put him, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn found their way together because of the Honky Tonk Man. They turned into Honky Tonk Man, formed the New Age Outlaws, and then eventually went to DX. So, I mean, to go from Country Star and, you know, whatever that was that they were doing to going in to be one of the most successful tag teams of all time was phenomenal. So they made it on my list. I won't say where they're at on my list yet, but they're definitely on my list. So in my five was Edge and Christian. So we can move on to four. You want me to go or do you want to go?
You can go.
My number four tag team is the Hardy Boys.
Same with mine.
I put them up. Great tag team. They were really over at that point in time. They were together from about 98 to 2002, I think. And then the whole Team Extreme thing, you know, everybody I know was a fan of the Hardy Boys.
I don't know anyone who hated the Hardy Boys. How could you? They were so entertaining.
And they were doing stuff that we really hadn't seen, jumping off ladders and going through tables and everything. We really hadn't seen that too much out of anybody. So these two, at that point in time, were just like something I hadn't seen before. So they held the tag team championships for about five times, and WCW tag team champions for once, if you want to count that. So accomplishments, they're both, even in that time, they were holding singles belts as well. So, I mean, European or light heavyweight or whatever you want to say, intercontinental. And they were feuding with guys like Triple H and Stone Cold. So they were up there in the main event, even though they were a tag team. So to go from being jobbers to being in the main event, feuding with main event guys like Triple H and Stone Cold, you know, it's a phenomenal, again, I keep using the word phenomenal, which is weird, but anyway.
You always do.
Do I?
Must be your trademark, the phenomenal Luke Janesco.
There you go. So, yeah, my number four tag team, Hardy Boys for me. And same with you?
Same with me. I agree with you. They're probably, at the time, in WWE, they're probably my second favorite tag team. WWE only, I'm talking about. And they were just, my favorite thing of all time was Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys, and the Dudley Boys. The feud that those three teams had was like, usually you always see two teams feuding. You never see three teams feuding.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was so unique, and I loved it. And that's how, you know, that's how TLC took off. That's how TLC 2 was so good. And the things that the Hardy Boys did, tag team-wise, they had great chemistry together. They had, you know, fluid in-ring ability, especially Jeff. Their tag team moves, the how they were so synchronized with everything they did. You can't put them anywhere but in the top five.
Yeah.
So, I mean, four, some people might have them higher than that.
Yeah, and it's really debatable. I mean, almost interchangeable for me. When I think TLC, Edge and Christian may have won it, but I always think of the Hardy Boys with the ladders and everything. So a lot of my memories for TLC are of the Hardy Boys
And that's how most people probably think of it as. I mean, unless you were like a die-hard Edge and Christian fan or a die-hard Dudley fan, you, no matter what, you always think of Jeff Hardy swantoning off the ladder through the table.
Yeah, and I think out of the three tag teams, I was always a Hardy Boys fan out of the three. I mean, Edge and Christian were a close second, and then Dudley Boys, I never hated the Dudley Boys, but they didn't impress me over a lot in the ring, I guess you would say. But I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to punch you if you keep talking, so go ahead.
Yeah, I don't like the Dudley Boys. So. Anyway, yeah, Hardy Boys number four for me, so move on to three already, I guess?
Yeah, well, here's my number three, the Harlem Heat.
There you go.
And I already said my piece about them, but I will add in that they are, in that period, they were 10-time tag team champion. So that's a huge accomplishment to hold the title that much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, WCW, there's no such thing, besides with the asterisk of Goldberg's, the world title reign, WCW, no one ever held titles long. Because WCW, they just switched hands so often. So to have it 10 times, I think that's just a great feat, and it shows just how good they actually were. And I know you don't see a lot of them because you were so heavy in the WWF. I can't fault you for that. So.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're you know, you sit here and tell me certain things, it's like I have absolutely no problem putting him, you know, top three, really, because I'm a huge Harlem Heat fan. I just...
You just don't know.
Yeah.
I get it.
So, to me, it makes sense. I'm not going to be like, hey, Harlem Heat doesn't belong in top five. I can never say that because Harlem Heat is one of my favorite tag teams. So, you know, I love Harlem Heat too. So I don't know. My number three I made is the Dudley Boys.
Okay.
Great tag team. They were together for a while. I think 96 to, I mean, 90, they, for they, me, this, they were like 96 to 2005.
They really never broke up besides when the, you know, the draft happened.
Yeah. And now in TNA, they're broke up and it's
like,
weird.
But like they got back together so many times. Like they, it's hard to think of them apart. They were together so long and so often. So,
and right now they're not together, and it's weird to think that they're not together because it's the Dudley Boys.
I'm not going to say anything about them until I get them to my list.
Okay.
Go ahead.
They held, I looked it up, ECW Tag Team Champions 8 times, WWE Tag Team Champions 9 times, and WCW Tag Team Champions once. Not to mention accomplishments in Japan.
18 time.
Yeah.
Champion.
Took part in TLC, crucial part of TLC.
Both of them.
Putting people through tables was such... They got amazing heat in ECW and WWE when they came and put people through tables.
They legitimately helped... There I go talking about them. But they legitimately helped ECW take off.
Yeah.
Like they were a huge part for a whole organization and company to take off for its short-lived run.
Yeah, and the one thing I would critique the Dudley Boys on is going back to ECW. One of the things I absolutely hate is cheap heat. And if you go back and look at the way they got heat in ECW, people hated them, but they got cheap heat. To me... To cut a promo and get heat and not using curse words or anything like that is an art. When you go out there and start throwing F-bombs and everything, I mean, of course you're going to get heat. That was like one of the things I did not like about the Dudleys. But, you know, it's whatever.
Well, go ahead. I mean, it's that I can't fault you for, you know, your reasonings. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I just think that's way too low for them. But my number... No, wait, that was your three? So yep. I already did Harlem Heat. Okay, so number two then. Who went first? I did, because I said Harlem Heat, so you're up.
Mine were the New Age Outlaws.
Okay.
And again, this was interchangeable here because originally I had Dudley's at two. And then I said New Age Outlaws, okay, I got to put them because they were the answer to the Outsiders. So I was like, okay, well, whatever.
Well, then, let me go on with my number one, because it looks like our one and twos are going to be the same.
Okay.
Okay. So my number one was the Dudley Boys.
Oh, okay. You have them at one.
Number one. And, like I said, they are my favorite tag team of all time. And so I'm going to get some bias in it. But you can't ignore 18-time champions and from 1995 to 2005. That's just an incredible run. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, look at the next highest was Harlem Heat with 10. And then, you know, Jeff Hardy, Edge and Christian, or the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian 7 times. I mean, like, no one even came close to them.
Yeah. One of the things I always look at, it's one of the first things that's always in my mind is wrestling ability, and I have never been, other than TLC or anything like that, I've never been wowed by any of the Dudley Boys.
Yeah, that's in my opinion their biggest thing is they were not great technical wrestlers. They weren't great anything. They were a great tag team though, which is why I have them number one. I mean, they had so many moves that were together. Their chemistry was by far, in my opinion, the best any tag team has ever been. You know, they had the Doomsday Device, the 3D through a table, the What's Up Headbutt.
Yeah.
They had the double power bomb from the turnbuckle. They just had so many moves. I've never saw so many a tag team have so many moves. I mean, like, together. And plus they had individual finishers. Like, you just don't see that. And, like, I just thought it was so amazing. Like, they're just a whole nother level, in my opinion. Like, I don't – number, you know, my number two and your number one, I think, are still – there's a gap between them, in my opinion, between the Dudley Boys. Like, that's how big of a Dudley Boys fan I am, and that's how big – and that's how good I think they are.
Yeah. And I could see you from that standpoint. Yeah, sure. It makes sense to me.
And, you know, and they pretty much had ECW on the back along with, you know, RVD and Sabu and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I...
And then I guess I can bring up my number one so we can kind of talk, right?
Well, yeah, because it's going to be my number two.
Okay, so my number one is Billy and Chuck.
No. That's not where you're going.
My number one is the Outsiders.
And that's my number two.
The reason I put these guys at one is because they were the crucial part in the NWO
mm-hmm.
with Hulk Hogan, which pretty much was responsible for the takeoff of the Attitude Era and everything in the wrestling being big in the late 90s. And to me, Dudley Boys, sure, helped out ECW, but they didn't do – I mean, they were there.
Oh, yeah, they did not do what the Outsiders did for WWE. That's totally – legit.
And I can see from where you would be because obviously these two were single stars put together. So they were kind of – they did have tag team moves, but they weren't – you know, they didn't have a ton of tag team moves. Like, they were still kind of two big single stars put together to make one huge tag team. And, I mean, I could see where you're coming from with the Dudley Boys. But to me, that impact that they've had on wrestling – puts them at number one.
No, I mean, and it's like I said, I mean, they're number two on my list, so I can't disagree with you too much. But I did say that there is a gap, in my opinion, between them and them, Dudley Boys and Outsiders. And I think they're just two totally different tag teams. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were huge in WCW, and not to mention in both NWOs. The thing is, though, is when I think back at them, it's hard to think of any great tag team matches that they were in. Most of them involved the Steiner Brothers when they were. And
or Harlem Heat.
They didn't fight them too much, though.
But they did fight them, right? I mean, to me, it was always Outsiders, Steiners, and Harlem Heat as, like, the teams. Because they would always have, the four-ways.
There was the Four Horsemen. As well.
Yeah. I mean, but to me, it's like always those three. Because they would have like the four ways.
Benoit and Malenko were always in those matches. They just never won.
Okay. Well, anyway, those are like the three teams I remember always in matches together.
But no, I mean, I love Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. It's so hard to like not have them number one because it's WCW and this is my number one tag team was a team that was never in WCW.
Yeah.
There was in the organization I hated at the time and then an organization I didn't even know existed until a while later. They didn't have any tag team moves together. Like, they were dominant. They were bullies. That, you know, that's where the Outsiders were. But I can't put them one over the Dudleys.
I think, Outsiders, people would go crazy for the Outsiders. You know what I mean? Merchandising, the charisma, promos, I think it was all fantastic. I loved the Outsiders. They were, obviously, because they're my number one. I don't know. I think what they've done to kick off wrestling warrants them to be the number one spot.
Those two guys, as wrestlers and as... Yeah, not necessarily as a tag team, but just individually as wrestlers, along with Hogan, ignited the 90s wrestling to be so huge as it was because of NWO and because of them putting WCW over. They put WCW over and allowed them to compete with WWF, which had 3 years with the Monday Night Wars one?
Yeah.
3 years or whatever? Like, that was the best wrestling had ever been. because they actually had competition. And it's
well,
always,
I guess Monday Night Wars started in 96, technically. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when WCW actually got its engine rolling.
Oh, okay.
And got viewers consistently. And they took over as a top show, right?
It yeah.
went for like 2 years.
Yeah, it was some. It was a while. Yeah, it was like 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, I have tremendous respect for the Outsiders, but they're number two on my list.
Okay. Makes sense. So do we want to put together a mashup of our top, the 10 count podcast, top 10 tag teams from 95 to 2005? Which I don't think it should be too hard to do.
Yeah, because I mean, we pretty much agreed on most of
yep.
it. There was really, the only big difference is Hot Meat, but and Edge and Christian. I know New Age Outlaws, I would.
Yeah. Okay, so one, I have no problem giving you the Dudleys because, as I've said, this is a tag team list, and I feel that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were two single stars thrown together to make one huge tag team. So, I mean, they were together for a while, but, you know, it could be like the two-man power trip thrown together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's another thing is, like, the Outsiders, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash weren't a tag team, you know what I mean, in WWF. So when they came here, they were both free agents that signed with WCW, and they just happened to be best friends.
Yeah,
and they never were a tag team, or they never. I don't know if they ever tag teamed in WWF as Diesel and Razor Ramon.
No, they always feuded.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and I mean to have them two never tag before and then come in and be that huge tag team is a great testament to how good they are. I think.
Yeah,
because they gelled so well.
Yeah, no, and I agree, but the fact that they were best friends. And they had so much control and power behind the scenes of WCW that they just put themselves together as a tag team does not warrant me to put them as number one because the Dudley Boys trained as a tag team, they came up as a tag team, and everywhere they went, they were a tag team.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't argue. Like I said, Dudley Boys were my
number
three. Almost, yeah, they were three, but they were originally two, and then I kind of threw New Age Outlaws in. So, I mean, I can't say that Dudley's fall back and cannot be number one just based on the accomplishments that they've had, and obviously this is a tag team list.
And you are biased because you're not big fans of them.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I can give you number one spot for the Dudleys, but I think Outsiders should be two, obviously.
Because that's what I am. And we'll New Age Outlaws 3?
Yep. That's what I would love.
I mean, there were five on my list, and pretty much, like, we interchanged pretty much Harlem Heat and New Age, so...
So, yes. So then I guess we're moving on to four, which we both agree we're...
The Hardy Boys.
This is not going to be a hard list to decide on at all.
And then five, I you have to put Harlem Heat over Edge and Christian.
Yeah, I have no complaints there.
And then Edge and Christian six. Is what it's probably got to be.
And then we've had Rock and Sock
we're
and
interchangeable.
AP. Yeah, so... It's
I like I said I gave Rock and Sock 7 just because of the segment ratings that they had alone
yeah.
was so huge.
And I can see that. I mean, I'm not going to put up an argument, sure. 7 Rock and Sock.
Mhm. Then that means 8 was APA. Well, 9 Steiner Bros, we both had that.
So we just have Legion of Doom and
Benoit Malenko.
Which is weird.
It's just what happened last time. We had a split because you had the WCW team and I had the WWF team wrestler. I had DDP, you had Kurt Angle.
Well, Legion of Doom is technically an NWA tag team, which went into WCW. So,
yeah. But they weren't big in WCW during this era.
They were there in 95.
They were there.
In 96 a little bit, too.
Yeah. Well, a year and a half does not make my list.
But I think, like I said, if you have the opportunity to put Legion of Doom on a list of tag teams, you've got to do it.
I can't do it because this is just this era. This is just like Ric Flair. You had this whole discussion.
Yeah.
I put him so high, and you said, well, if this was early in the early 90s or the late 80s and stuff, he would be on this list, no hands down, in the top three.
Yeah.
And this is the same argument.
We could have this argument And I could give it to you if it was another team other than Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit.
They were so relevant, though. They wrestled so much as a tag team. They fought all the real tag teams. They never, because they were the Four Horsemen, which were in WCW, they were the team that the NWO was supposed to kick its ass. So they never got their chance.
But I mean, LOD was relevant in WWE because they had the whole feud with the Hart Foundation. It was like LOD, Stone Cold, Ken Shamrock versus the Hart Foundation. So they were so relevant.
Then we're going to have to do a split.
We're going to have to do a split because there's no way I can not put Legion of Doom.
I also had honorable mentions.
Let's hear your honorable mentions.
RVD and Sabu for ECW. The only thing is I cut them off the list is, you know, ECW is not known for its tag team division. They had a very poor tag team, you know, division.
Well, they had a couple. I mean, they had, obviously, Dudley Boy started there. They had the Eliminators, which I don't know if you have ever seen anything from the Eliminators. There's Perry Saturn and John Cronus. And those two.
I didn't even know Saturn was in ECW.
Yeah, he started off. And those two were just vicious. I mean, they were stiff and they would kill you.
They had the FBI.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had a decent tag division, I think. But, yeah, to me, other than the Dudleys, it wasn't really anything like, I'm going to put this ECW tag team on my list.
And, you know, they were more individual in ECW, too. So, and then my other honorable mention was Conan and Rey Mysterio, the only reason I kept them off this list is they were always together. They always fought. And then the only time they were ever actually a team was the Filthy Animals.
Yeah.
And I guess they also were in the No Limit Soldiers.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But they were always together. They never broke up. They never fought each other.
How long were they together? You know?
As far as I can remember, I mean, I'm gonna 90, I mean, it's got to be
at least 99 to 2001.
No, it was earlier than that. 97, 98. It's probably when they first started getting together. They had the tag team title only one time. But like I said, WCW, you know, outsiders in Harlem Heat, no one really got tag team titles.
Yeah.
They would just create two teams and throw them out there. I mean, at one point, Alex Wright and Disco Inferno had the tag team titles.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, they kind of made sense, didn't they? Because they were Alex Wright.
Nights,
yeah.
Whatever. But still, no. Conan and Rey Mysterio had great chemistry. They had I don't know what their move was called, but Rey Mysterio would get on his shoulders and he would throw him off the shoulders and he would land.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they were my, if I had 11, Conan and Rey Mysterio would be 11 and RVD and Sabu would be 12.
Okay.
But if you're more comfortable with Conan and Rey Mysterio over Legion Doom and Malenko and Benoit, I'll give that to you. But if
no, you, I'm no, not even, no.
Okay.
Who
are you more comfortable with, Conan and Ray or Malenko and Benoit?
I would be more comfortable with Malenko and Benoit, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't prepare any honorable mentions or anything like that, but
I always come prepared.
There you go.
I also have one more tidbit I'm going to say, but go ahead.
One of the I said it as a joke as my number one, but I think Billy and Chuck should get an honorable mention.
You know what? I thought about them, but they just, they developed too late into this era.
Yeah.
They were a good tag team. I hated them.
Yeah.
That was too weird.
It was weird.
It was too weird.
And I think one of the things that sticks out in my mind as to why they should get honorable mention was they did the whole Billy and Chuck wedding thing, and that was one of the things that got publicity at the time when wrestling had kind of quieted down from the Attitude Era, and it was one of the things that made the news and was like, hey, two guys are getting married on WWE. So I think that was one of the things that would have always stuck out in my mind when I was making this list was like, well, Billy and Chuck kind of had this. They were getting publicity outside of the ring, which,
well, the thing that sucked is, you know, those two clearly were not gay. That was the most,
yeah,
that was the most disturbing part, was that you had two guys who clearly were not gay. And there's nothing against gay guys, or, you know, nothing, there's nothing against them. I'm just saying, when you have two clearly not gay guys pretending to be gay and then rubbing all over each other and stuff, it's disturbing. And you just don't want to see it. And, like, that's the main reason outside of the fact that they developed too late into this list and in this era.
I mean, there is a fine. If you do it right, it's cool. Like, this type of character has always been in wrestling in some shape or form. Adorable Adrian Adonis. The feminine character of, you know, being a homosexual or something like that. And I think Billy and Chuck was, they did it okay, I think. I didn't think it was bad. I think the way you do it bad, I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen Orlando Jordan and TNA at that one point?
Oh, my God.
That's the way you do it bad.
But isn't he legitimately?
He's bisexual.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, it doesn't, if he's really bisexual, I mean, if he's really gay or not, that is the way to do a homosexual character wrong by doing what he did.
Yeah, but you can't do it too wrong if he legitimately is.
I mean, the way I see it is it's really weird when you cross the line of taking lotion and squirting it on your face.
Whenever we had his segments, me and my cousin used to, when we watched the TNA, just fast forward it.
Yeah.
It's not even watchable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many people probably turned off the TV at that moment. Switch channel.
And I think whether he's homosexual or not, and agrees to doing it, doesn't really make it the correct way to do it, even if he agrees to doing it. So I think Billy and Chuck wasn't a bad way to do it. I mean, it's okay. It was passable. It wasn't bad. Got publicity. It did its job. But you look at Orlando Jordan, that is a completely wrong way to do a feminine or homosexual style character in wrestling. To me, anyway. And I think to most people, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that was really my only honorable mention that I thought of. I mean, I can't really think of any other ones at all.
There was Los Guerreros. I don't.
Los Guerreros, yeah. I mean, they were a good
team. I thought about them too, but how long were they? Again, they too late.
Yeah,
like, they weren't really a tag team in WCW. Chavo was Eddie's bitch.
Yeah,
in WCW. That's what he was.
And when they formed, They were an entertaining. They had the vignettes of them doing lie, cheating, and stealing or whatever, and I think they made a great tag team. I don't know how long they were together, though. 2003, probably till, I would say, 04, because Eddie Guerrero went off for his big singles push. So, I mean, they wouldn't have made the list just because of longevity-wise. They weren't together for that long.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they had a great impact when they were there, because those vignettes and promos from them were things I would tune into SmackDown just to see because I knew it was going to be entertaining.
And it came out in the car.
How cool
was that?
Yeah, I know. That was like one of the greatest things. The low rider going up and down was fantastic. And I think that evolved into a good feud eventually at the end. So Los Guerreros, would be definitely a good one too. I mean, I'm not saying I would have put them in my top 10. No, they wouldn't have made my top 10, but honorable mention, I think.
This is too cool.
Too cool? To me, I've thought of them, but I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to put them on my list. Maybe top 20, but I don't think.
Because they weren't really. They were more entertainers than anything.
Yeah. Dancing with Rikishi.
Crowd loved them and stuff, yeah.
They were super over. I'll give them that.
Yeah,
they were really
fans
over.
Fans wanted them to win because at the end they would do their dance. And that's what fans wanted to see. So they had to make them win. They weren't really. They only held it like once or twice.
Yeah. And I remember seeing. I just watched a couple weeks ago an old Raw, and Scotty did the worm, and I mean, people just went crazy when they knew who he was going to start doing. It was ridiculous how crazy he got, and I mean, the reaction that he got, because they were, you know, like you said, they weren't big champions or anything like that. They were kind of there with Rikishi and stuff like that, and it was crazy the reaction that those two got. It was unbelievable. I was going to say phenomenal, but then I remember you pointed it out. So,
I mean, there was like some honorable tag teams you can mention from this era, but they just didn't. They weren't dominant. They didn't make the list. I mean, you have the Hollies, Corruption Hardcore. You have Ken Shamrock and Steve Blackman were a tag team, right?
I remember they may have been did something, but I remember Ken Shamrock and Big Boss Man were tag team champs.
Okay, D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry.
Yeah. I think one of the things I would maybe, I mean, wrestling ability-wise, they could have made it world's greatest tag team just because of the matches they put on.
I mean, You had Chronic. I mean, they were in WCW. They were relevant. They were a force. They just
I mean, too cocky,
and I didn't like it.
When I watched them, I mean, those two were like huge, and you know, they came over from WWE, so I knew who they were, and I was I didn't hate Chronic at the time when I watched them. It was like,
what, they came from WWE? No, they didn't.
Yeah, both of them did.
Oh well, they, yeah, they went to WWE.
No, they came from WWE.
What? It was Wrath and Brian Adams.
Wrath was Adam Bomb in WWE in the like 94 and 95.
Oh. Well, what was Brian Adams? I thought he was always in.
Brian Adams was Crush.
Huh.
Nation of Domination and all
well,
that.
Speaking of Brian Adams, he also was with Scott Norton a lot.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Buff Bagwell and Scott Norton a lot.
They were a tag team. They weren't that relevant. They never were tend to toe, but I think Scott Norton and Brian Adams won. They were when NWO won the tag teams. Brian Adams and Scott Norton were always, because Buff Bagwell and Scott Steiner were a tag team for a little bit.
Okay.
The Giant and Scott Steiner also were a tag team. I mean, there's a lot of like tag teams. Like they were good. Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
The Power Trip. Did Flair have any tag teams? I don't think he did.
He tagged with Batista for a little while, if we're going to go with that route.
I mean, he also tagged with Arn Anderson a couple times, too, but...
well, he was tag champs with Batista.
Was he?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. He was. Well, you know what? You can also do... Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio. They were a tag team for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Taz, I think, was in a tag team with someone. I don't remember who.
He tagged with Spike Dudley for a little while, which
was
weird.
That was it. Taz and Spike Dudley. That was it.
They were tag champs.
Yeah, they were bad. X-Pac and Just Incredible.
Yeah. The X-Factor. Albert.
Yeah. Albert and Sky Too Hottie.
Hip-hop hippo.
Hip-hop hippo.
They had a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they tried a whole bunch of combinations of people, just not, they don't stick. That's what happens.
And sometimes you get things like New Age Outlaws when you throw two people together, so.
HBK, Triple H. They never held a title, though.
No. Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold held the championship for a little
bit. They did. That was before Stone Cold got big, though.
Yeah. Oh, one of the tag teams I would have liked to mention on here, they definitely wouldn't have made top 10 just because of how long they were together, but Owen Hart and British Bulldog, I think.
No, that's a good one. And you can honorable mention them because they're both dead.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, you have the Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
You can do that. Jim Neidhart, however you say it.
Neidhart.
Him and Bret Hart.
Good old days.
That was in WCW and WWE, right?
They were in WWE from like early 90s, so they wouldn't have fit into. And I don't. Zero. WCW. Did they tag in WCW?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember they both had the pink.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Bret was so mistreated in WCW, but.
Yeah, you know. Neidhart wasn't much treated much better.
Yeah, because they brought him and Bulldog over, and it was kind of just like.
You know what? Rick Steiner teamed up with. He won a tag team title a couple times with Kenny Chaos.
Who's Kenny Chaos?
You don't even know who he is. Yeah. They did that a lot. He was a wrestler. He was another person in ECW, I believe. But I don't remember what his name was.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to look it up. All right, you're already looking it up.
I can look it up. But I can also mention Ming and Barbarian.
Ah, the Faces of Fear. I love Ming and Barbarian.
And you had the Boogie Nights, which we mentioned.
Which was a weird setup there, but...
Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare.
Natural Born Thrillers. Yep.
The Mamalukes.
There you go. Sean Stasiak and Chuck Palumbo. Were they the main event or something they made up? I can't remember what it was.
Was that their names?
Sean Stasiak and Chuck Palumbo?
Was this in WCW or WWE when they came?
This
over?
Was WCW. Remember, because then they kind of switched partners with Sean O'Hare and Mark Jindrak. Because then Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo were like tag champs when they came in from WCW.
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
It's like a, I don't know, it's a blank. And
that was dark days of WCW, so I wouldn't expect you to.
Okay. Kenny Chaos was not in anything outside WCW. That's probably
his name was just Kenny Chaos. What's his real name?
He also was Chaos. Was also his name.
Don't even know who he is.
Ken Stasiowski? Stasiowski? I don't know. Can't say it. He was only active in wrestling until 1999, then he retired.
Because he was not
good. But he did have Ted and Talladine twice. But you have Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs.
There you go. American Males, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then Bagwell used to tag with Shane Douglas. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. They won the tag until. That's what I was going to mention. Buff Bagwell is a 5-time WCW
there you go.
Champion, just with 3 different teams.
And then we can mention
4 different teams.
Triple Threat from ECW, Bam Bam, Chris Candido, and franchise Shane Douglas.
Well, you can also do the Jersey Triad, DDP, Canyon, and Bam Bam.
There you go. And then Totally Buff, as I assume you'd want to mention.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of that one.
Totally Buff.
I loved Buff Bagwell, but I'm not a Lex Luger fan at all.
I don't like Lex Luger either.
Buff Bagwell, can you guess who? He held the title with 4 people. Who were they?
Shane Douglas?
Shane Douglas and Riggs. You already said those 2. We already said those 2.
There's
2 more. One, I was surprised. I didn't think that he held it with this guy.
Never Scott Norton?
Nope. No Norton, no Luger.
Steiner.
Nope.
Judy Bagwell.
No.
I have no clue.
The Patriot? Do you know who he is?
The Patriot was in WWE.
He held it 2 times with the Patriot.
Del Wilkes, the Patriot? Or?
I don't know. It says, I didn't know who this guy was.
What year?
This was before his Buff Bagwell. He was Marcus Bagwell.
Okay, I remember a guy named the Patriot because I just watched a stupid WCW thing, big old thing from mid-90s, and I think he was in there. So it was some weirdo guy. Who's the other one?
Well, this is the one that I was surprised I didn't. Too Cold Scorpio.
What year was that? Is this before Buff Bagwell?
These are Marcus Bagwell, but, it's the same guy. Not too much of a difference. Marcus Bagwell and Too Cold Scorpio held it in 1993.
That's weird. Flash Funk and Buff Bagwell? How awkward.
They won their title on a tape delay.
There you go.
Saturday night. WCW on Saturday night. The Patriot. They had a tag team name and everything. The Stars and Stripes.
Harlem Heat defeated Stars and Stripes for one of the WCW championships, I think.
Because
I was
Del Wilkes.
The Patriot Del Wilkes.
Del Wilkes.
I did not know he was in WCW before he went to WWE.
Yeah, he held the tag title twice with Buff Bagwell. Apparently.
That is weird.
1994, September 94 and November 94.
Okay.
They lost to Pretty Wonderful, which was Paul Roma and Paul Orndorff.
Paul Romick.
And then they lost to Harlem Heat.
Harlem Heat. I remember looking at that. I was like, who's Stars and Stripes? But I never pursued who Stars and Stripes were. But I had no idea the Patriot, because Patriot came in WWE. He was one of the guys. It was the Patriot, LOD, Stone Cold, and Ken Shamrock versus the Hart Foundation all the time. And Del Wilkes came in under a mask as the Patriot. It's like, okay, we'll go with it. I have no idea who Del Wilkes is anyway, but he looks cool in a mask.
All right.
So I guess we'll run down our list as one final thing here. The official 10 count podcast top 10 tag teams from 95 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1, Dudley Boys. Number 2, The Outsiders. Number 3, The New Age Outlaws. Number 4, The Hardy Boys. Number 5, Harlem Heat. Number 6, Edge and Christian. Number 7, Rock and Sock Connection. Number 8, the APA. Number 9, the Steiner Brothers. Number 10, again, is a compromise. We'll go Legion of Doom / Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko. Which, they were never called, like, the Four Horsemen or anything. It was just, like, Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I mean, they were associated with them, but, yeah.
I love Chris Benoit in WCW. I was such a huge... I mean, I was a fan when he came over.
I liked Malenko better.
Yeah? I didn't hate Malenko. But, I mean, he put on great matches in the Cruiserweight.
The Iceman.
Yeah. He was so legitimate in WCW. And then when he came to WWE, it was like, why aren't you using this guy? So, I don't know. Man of a thousand holds. I mean, Dean Malenko was so great. And I was so depressed that he didn't get his due in WWE. He was, like, what, light heavyweight champion and then he retired?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't win much. He came in as the Radicals, right?
Yep. And, I mean, he was kind of like... I mean, him and Perry Saturn really didn't do too much. And I loved Perry Saturn in WCW.
I did, too. He was one of my favorite... If I did top favorite WCW guys, he would be on there.
Yep. And, I mean, he was so... He would look like he'd rip your head off because he was so big and everything. And then he came in WWE, and he didn't really do it.
He's, like, a legitimately nice guy, too, which is the funny
thing. Yeah. And, I mean, he got stuck with that moppy gimmick and everything, and it was weird. But I don't know.
Didn't he get... He got shot, didn't he? Saving someone.
I heard that was fake.
Was it fake?
I heard he made that up for something about insurance, but I don't know if it was true. I mean, like that. I remember reading what you were talking about. He saved some woman from being raped, and he got shot in the back of the head like 3 times or something like that. Then I heard it was all false, like he made it up.
Well, how do you make that up? You have bullet holes in your head or not?
Yeah, I know. That's why.
And
that's why
bald,
I didn't get.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't know. If like what was true it. And what wasn't. So I have no clue on whether it actually happened. I'm going to have to look it up because I never really pursued it.
I do remember another tag team, too, because I remember the whole Raven's Flock.
Raven's Flock.
You have Raven and Saturn, and you had Lodi and Lenny Lane. They were not in Raven's Flock. Lodi was, but...
I remember all Lodi and Lenny Lane and everyone else. You know, Raven and Perry Saturn were a tag team.
And Three Count.
And the Young Dragons.
There's so many. We can go a whole another 2 hours talking about this.
Yeah,
we'll
talking
stop.
About we should do top 10 worst tag teams of all time.
Yeah, Three Count would be number one.
There
on
you
my
go.
List.
Tank Abbott. That was so weird.
He just came in, punched, and left. That's all. Norman Smiley was one of my favorite wrestlers.
Screaming Norman Smiley.
No, not one of my favorite wrestlers. He was. So funny the way he come out doing a wiggle. Oh my god!
I loved when he became hardcore champion, and then he kept trying to lose it, but then he couldn't lose it. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember like Muda hit him in his. He was gonna have an I Quit match with somebody, and like he ran into Muda in the backstage. Muda like punched him in his throat, so he couldn't talk, so he could never say I quit. And then the one guy was like, "Just say I quit." So they took the other guy like I quit. I don't know. I remember some stuff. I mean, Norman Smiley was hilarious when he come out. Because when he was hardcore champ, he'd come out with, like, the full-on football gear so he wouldn't get hurt or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was great.
Do you remember... I don't remember who the character, who the guy was that they killed. I swear they killed someone on WCW. They killed him off. Yeah, I think it was Ming, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. Like, before he'd made the jump to WWE.
Yeah.
I think they killed him in WCW.
That would not surprise me with WCW.
It was weird because like I remember it was a tag team, it was a hardcore match, and I don't know who it was. It might have been Norman Smiley because it always comes to my head as Norman Smiley. They were on a balcony fighting, and like you saw, like Ming go to like attack Norman Smiley, and you like flipped them over, and you went over the balcony, and then you never heard from Ming again. He's like, and like the announcers are going crazy, like, oh my god, this is like 6 stories high. He's probably dead. Never saw him again.
Which, I mean, it would make sense because now you mentioned, I remember Ming came back to WWE as Haku, but he left WCW as Hardcore Champion. So, I mean, if he killed Norman Smiley for the Hardcore Championship, I don't know if that's how it went.
I don't remember.
I don't know either, but, you know, it makes sense from what you're telling me. So, I mean, WCW came with a lot of weird stuff in the later days.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, even, I remember when Rick Steiner and Chucky cut a promo on Rick Steiner. I just watched that, like, last week. It was weird. I don't know.
Who?
Chucky the doll.
Wow.
Cut a promo on
That's weird.
Rick Steiner or something like that. And then I remember RoboCop showing up at some WCW event to save somebody. And it was weird.
They also had Kiss perform a fake
yes.
Kiss. Fake Kiss. Perform.
And they had the demon.
The demon.
Dale Torborg.
That was
weird.
It's so weird. And then the whole No Limit Soldiers being involved.
Yeah, with the West Texas Rednecks. Is that what it was?
Yeah. The I Hate Rap versus the I Hate Country battle, that whole thing.
It was weird.
And then Mike Awesome's Love Corner, whatever he had it. Do you remember
that?
Oh,
he was like the Fat Chick Thriller or whatever it was. That was, like, he went from that 70s like guy. And then they said he was Canadian, and then they made Hacksaw Jim Duggan Canadian.
No, they had him being a traitor.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They had Mike Awesome billed as a Canadian, though. With Team Canada with Lance Storm. Lance Storm was legitimately Canadian, so it's, at least you can call it. Like, I loved to hate Lance Storm. He's probably my favorite. If you had a top 25 wrestlers, he's in there of all time.
WCW had a lot of good people. They just didn't really use them.
They didn't use them. Rey Mysterio. Like, all these people that went on to be huge careers in WWE. WCW guys. Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit.
And I think...
Rey Mysterio.
I think Lance Storm was one of those guys that I'm so upset never got his due. Like, when he came over to WWE, he didn't really get anything. WCW, they started giving him a push, and then, you know, WCW went under. I think Lance Storm, so great to watch in the ring, I wish he would have done more. Like, WWE would have actually given him a good spot to be in.
I don't think he ever could have been a main card guy.
No, I don't think he would have either, but I definitely wouldn't put a world championship on him, but I think I loved watching
him. He held everything else. He held an Intercontinental title.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't have any fantastic runs, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. He was a tag team champion with someone. I don't remember who.
He was a strong mid-card guy, but he kind of just like held it once, and that was it. So, I mean, I always enjoyed seeing his matches, and, you know, he's one of the guys that I wish got more of a due somewhere. But I don't know. We're, like, so off-topic.
Yeah, I don't know how this is about tag teams, but whatever.
It happened. It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
That's true.
Which, next podcast, we're going to be doing our...
what we're doing every third podcast is going to be, for as long as we can keep this going.
We're going to do it forever. We're going to be 60 years old.
No, I don't mean how long this podcast is going to be going, but how long we can do two non-opinion ones.
Oh, okay.
But if we're going to do every third one is going to be an opinionated list. So we're not necessarily where we can debate. Why it's more about why we think it, and then there's really you can't really argue it because it's just pure opinion. Like favorite wrestlers of all time, which is what we're doing. Anyways, all time from the era. I don't remember. All time.
Let's do all time. Yeah, we'll make it all time right now. So if we can't forget,
that's what it is. It's opinionated and it could be all time. That's what it is. So yeah, we'll be doing our favorite wrestlers, top 10 wrestlers of all time.
In which we've already got it set. We'll do it next Sunday.
I already made my list, so you're slacking.
I'm slacking. Well, this has been the 10 Count Podcast. I'm Luke Janesco.
Tony Romano.
And I guess we'll see you next time with our favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yep.
So we'll see you.
Later.
The bad boys are wrestling. Testing competition when the war does the mission. Not no mercy, see the race like the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. It'll prove a point. Number one, best believe that you don't want to test it with them. I'll be there for them. Come in the ring with them, you're never walking out again. So you're back on the war pack.